Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
All right, a much more fun post-game show. The Brewers, their first shutout victory of the season, 5-0 over the Pirates. All right, it's a happy off day and a happy home off day as the Diamondbacks come to town next. Brewers salvage the finale. They still lose the series after the first two games went the Pirates' way, but today a 5-run fourth inning was all the offense needed. The pitching was fantastic. Kyle Harrison is the easiest pick of the year for player of the game. We will hear from him a little bit later. We'll hear from Pat Murphy as well, and we want to hear from you. 855-616-1620 is the phone number, 855-616-1620. 1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. I'm flying solo here today, so let's talk a little ball, shall we? The Brewers looked like the Brewers again today, and even without a home run, that's seven straight games without a home run. That is their longest stretch since the 1999 season. Only one homer in their last 11 games, which also isn't great, but that fourth inning finally looked like that Brewer offense that we saw from a season ago where you give an inch, they take a mile. And it almost was for nothing given you had second and third and nobody out in the fourth inning with a leadoff bloop single by Contreras, by the way, 10-pitch at-bat, and then a 3-0 green light by Bowers to hit a double for a ground rule double to right center field. So second and third, nobody out, and then the first run of the game scores on a ground out. So now you're thinking, oh my goodness, that's four straight runs scored without the benefit of a hit. Mitchell struck out. Frelick falls behind 0-2, and I could sense the frustration and the anger and the, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? They're not going to score more. And Sal gets a gift on a 1-2 pitch, a catcher's interference on his patented late swing, trying to just stay alive, and he gets rewarded first base because of it, keeps the inning alive for men on the corners and two outs for Renjifo, a single up the middle. Then with two strikes, David Hamilton, his first extra base hit of the season, an RBI double to right center field, and then Brandon Lockridge with two strikes, a two-run single into left field. I mean, three chances with two strikes and two outs to end the inning. None of them happened. With the catcher's interference making it an error, that means the final four runs of that inning become unearned. And the Brewers are a team that thrives on taking advantage of the other team's mistakes. And that was certainly the first thing that jumped out to me. They made the starter, Carmen Majinski, throw 39 pitches in that fourth inning and chased them from that game. It all started with Williams' 10-pitch battle in the fourth inning, to lead off that inning. And I think the craziest stat from those 39 pitches, there was just one swing and miss of the 39. So the Brewers started to show signs of life. They were even without the key players we've talked about, even with a slump from Bryce Turang on this homestand, even with William Contreras not having the best slugging week of his career this week, and getting the party started there in the fourth inning. But the real story of the day is Kyle Harrison, and there's plenty to talk about with Kyle. The final line is so impressive. Six innings, one hit, no runs, one walk, a career high, 12 strikeouts, also a career high, 23 swings and misses. He was brilliant here today. So let's go ahead and jump into the phone lines here. We'll hear from Kyle Harrison a little bit later on in the show as well. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. The Saddling Liberty WTMJ talk and text line. Greg, out in the parking lot. Greg, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Yeah, here's
I'm going to say this out loud. Bowers has been the biggest hit that anybody could ever ask for. The guy has been exceeding expectations from the jump. The reality is the rest of the team has kind of been a big underwhelming lump, and we want them to perform better, and we want that to get on board with where the team was last year. But we need guys to feed off of where Bowers is. And if everybody could jump in on that type of energy, we can become the team that was the team last year.
Yeah, I agree. I think Bowers is a great call there, Greg. Appreciate the call in there. Bowers, his numbers this year, a .261 batting average, a .316 on base, which is actually low by his standards. He had a .350 on base in 86 games last season. He only had seven homers last year, though, too, and he's got 100 or so fewer at-bats already right now. He's going to surpass that. He's never hit more than a dozen homers in a big league season in his career. He's a 30-year-old. We talked to him in spring training about the fact that he's found a niche. He's found something he's good at, combining first base defense. He had great defense at first today, and timely hitting. And this is the best start to a season in his career. Honestly, between Terang and Bowers, you can argue they have been the two best hitters for the Brewers from the start of the season to now. We're exactly 1 month into the season. So I think it's certainly a reminder of how important Jake Bowers has been, and especially so in the absence of Andrew Vaughn. And maybe it gets even better when both of them are in the starting lineup against a certain righty or something like that. Maybe Bowers gets the start in left, or maybe Vaughn is DHing, whatever the Brewers ultimately decide to do when Vaughn returns. But you're right, Bowers getting two doubles today, massive, 2 for 4, great stuff to see from JB. Let's get back to the phones as well. Let's go to Hardy and Cudahy. Hardy, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Well, Don, it's Hardy, and thank you for taking my call. Now, great to celebrate a win. I think Harrison was superb, but there's something that's been bothering me since last season. I figured the offseason would clear it up. It hasn't. Gotten worse. I'm interested in your take. You're thoughtful. You're analytical. I respect it. What's up with Logan Henderson? He was 3-0 last season. 1.78 ERA. His 2-0 decisions, the team was up 3-1 and 3-2 in the fourth inning when he got pulled. Spring training, well, he had a sore elbow, et cetera, et cetera. Missed the week. Well, he's at AAA. What's going on? Is he pitching poorly there? Is he injured? Is he buried? What does this man have to do to crack the lineup?
Now, it's a great question.
I go back to the days of the Milwaukee Braves. I'll be 76 come June. No pitcher in the history of the Milwaukee Braves or the Milwaukee Brewers has been treated this way. What did the guy do? Did he sass Murph? Is he a bad teammate? Or are the analytics off? You know, there might be some next-gen statistics. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Hardy. Yeah, I think you're not far off on the buried part of it, where he was always seen as part of the depth for this starting rotation, right? And let's also be honest about this last two, three turns of the rotation right now for the Brewers. Where is he going to fit in? And some people may say, oh, Brandon Sproat. Well, both Sproat and Henderson are seen for the future. Now, talking to some people within the Brewers organization, there is kind of like a split camp on what they see as Logan Henderson's future. After he came up for that spot appearance in the doubleheader against the Royals, they really like the thought of him getting shortened up, being able to play that fastball higher and get some more talent, squeeze every drop out of him. Now, today, Logan followed Quinn Priester on his rehab outing down in AAA Nashville, and he pitched maybe his best outing of his career in AAA. 5 innings, 5 hits, 1 run was earned, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts against the Charlotte Knights. Now, to answer your question, I think that the Brewers have an unenviable position of having too many arms. And that's never, ever, ever a bad thing, right? I think that coming into the season, coming into spring training, when you're trying to decide what this depth chart is going to look like. I mean, there was a long time in the offseason we weren't sure if Ashby was going to be a starter or a reliever. There was a long time that, you know, Logan Henderson was probably going to be in the rotation, or even what were you going to get out of Kyle Harrison? What were you going to get out of Brandon Sproat? And then you throw in the injury to Quinn Priester. Quinn's really the only guy that went down, in addition to wondering if Woodruff was going to be ready for opening day. So it's a long-winded way to say him and Gasser are both kind of like, man, what else do I got to do? But at the same time, when you watch 12 strikeouts from Kyle Harrison from the newcomer, it's like, oh, okay, I get it. Depth is never a bad thing. And at some point, maybe in the middle of this summer, and Logan Henderson is back up and needed, maybe that's something that's going to happen, because for somebody as valuable as he is, that's able to go 5 innings and give you length and be a starting pitcher with a dynamic changeup, he's still developing that third pitch, a cutter or a slider, whatever it is, he is going to be in the big leagues at some point this year. I don't think you're far off there, Hardy, but I do appreciate the call and the concern for Logan Henderson. But the Brewers certainly have an enviable rotation down in AAA right now. I said it at the beginning of the year, like the Brewers' AAA rotation is going to be better than some you know, big league rotations right now, and I think that has certainly been coming true. Depth is never a bad thing. Let's break down Kyle Harris and start a little bit deeper, go beyond the box score coming up next. Brewers win 5-0, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620, on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers get a victory, 5-0, and the kids are still running the bases here at the ballpark. Welcome in. I'm Dom Catronio. A couple of texts that have come through here as well from Doug. That's more like it. Guess it didn't like my criticism from last night. Much more to life today, but they do have to find more power. Love Harrison. He's got some moxie. This one from Mark. Nice win. Finally a shutout. The 5 runs certainly helped the pitching staff and the bullpen. And a nice long start for the starter. Another text here from the 414. Good win. Complete ball game for the Brewers. I want to put out a stat for the fans still worried about this year's team, because on this day last year, the Brewers were 13-15. Plenty of baseball left. Yep, they're 14-13 now. We're not saying everything's great and playing a parade now, but we're just saying you can understand why they're just 14-13. Alex in Oshkosh, career-high day for Kyle Harrison, avoiding the sweep against the pesky Pirates. 3 games left this month. Just win 2 out of 3 against the D-backs, and you get the first 30 games of the year with a winning record. Take that heading into May. I appreciate that as well. So, Kyle Harrison, what made it so great today? What made it so different for him against the Pirates today? And given the last 2 days, we talked about this in Brewers warm-up. Brandon Woodruff, fastball-heavy approach. That second time through the order, the Pirates breakthrough. Jacob Mizorowski, fastball-heavy approach. Second time through the order, Pirates breakthrough. Today, fastball-heavy approach until the slurve started to take center stage. And honestly, you can talk to pitchers, you can talk to evaluators, you can talk to coaching staff. No one ever has all of their pitches on at the same time. You know, generally it's like, oh, my fastball is feeling really good today, but the changeup isn't there. Or, you know, maybe I can't locate the changeup properly, but it's moving well. Whatever it may be, you are generally not, quote unquote, on with all 3 of your offerings or 4, whatever it may be. For Kyle, it's 3. And man, that was on today. He had all 3 of those pitches cooking. He could throw it for a strike. He could throw it for a chase. He could throw it dotted on the corner. He could get one to set up another one. I just thought it was a masterclass today of teamwork between Kyle and William. They were so clearly on the same page, mixing speed so well. And there were at-bats in this game where there were long battles and long foul balls, and maybe a younger Kyle Harrison, mind you, he's still under the age of 25, would really worry about this. I mean, think about that first inning. Yes, he struck out the side, but he had 0-2 on all 3 batters and still managed to throw 23 pitches in that inning, right? That's an area where it's like, oh man, could this spiral, could this snowball, where that inning becomes longer than it needs to be because of all the foul balls against him. Well, that was his longest inning of the day. The rest of the day, it went 8, 14, 23, but even that was a little misleading because there was a long at-bat with Nick York. Or I should say there was the walk to Reynolds. He had to face one more batter. Only faced one over the minimum today. Then 17-15 in his final inning of work. And what was so impressive to me was that second and third time through the order, starting to mix things up, starting to show, hey, I've got this slurve. Hey, you've heard so much about the kick change, but now I'm landing it for a strike. He kept the Pirates on their toes, not knowing what was coming next. And you can use this on Baseball Savant to track how different it is the first and second and third time through the order. First time through the order, it was 60% heater, 22% changeup. Then the second time through the order, it was nearly 40% slurve, put the changeup to the side, and still threw plenty of heaters in there as well. But the fact that he used the slurve more than he ever has in his career, he got more strikeouts on that pitch than he ever has in his career. And the simplest number to point out, and you've heard me say this for years and years, when I'm talking about starting pitchers and when I'm talking about strikeouts and why you're able to get there, 14 of 19 batters faced today, strike one. That's where it always has to begin. Kyle Harrison, the amount of 0-2 counts he had today, the amount of command that he had, just one walk, just one soft single, really nothing was really hit all that hard today. I thought Kyle Harrison showed off why the Brewers are so excited to acquire him when they did. I know everybody was very shell-shocked in the moment because it was a fan-favorite pair in Caleb Durbin and Andrew Monasterio, and I know Anthony Siegler was in that deal too, to receive David Hamilton, who also had a double in today's game, to receive Shane Drouin, who's on the active roster and gave you four innings of quality relief on Friday, and Kyle Harrison. Shoot, I see a lot of wins in that. I see a really darn good trade there all of a sudden when everyone was freaking out in February when that deal went down. So Kyle deserves a lot of credit for becoming and being malleable and, you know, really being sharp today, not taking anything for granted. I thought he was really, 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 really good today, and we'll hear from him coming up in the next segment. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. Let's get back to the lines as well. Kyle from Queens, but Colin here from the parking lots. Kyle, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
John, thank you for taking my call. So great to hear from you. Have been so far the first three games of homestand, and I know you'll be traveling, but I'll be there Tuesday to Thursday. Always great to be back in my favorite place in the world.
Love it.
With specifically 1 month into the season, kind of want your state of the Brewers. It feels like so far with this team, I know it's a month, baseball's a long season, but it kind of feels like a retool year where the guys in AAA, Mate, Pratt, aren't ready yet and kind of waiting for them to come up, and how this team has performed so far kind of showed like it. But some concerns, some worries with the bullpen already being taxed with none of our starters going sick. But kind of want your state of the Brewers, how you feel so far this month. And I'm optimistic here, but I have a feeling that when you get the top bats back, that they'll have a surge hopefully after Memorial Day, kind of similar to last year. But as always, Dom, appreciate you on the show, and thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it, Kyle. Appreciate the call. You know, comparing it to last year is kind of a low-hanging fruit, but I'm going to do it anyway because I think there are reasons that this team is having similar performances to last year's team at this point of the season. It's because of injury, right? So the Brewers at this point last year were on another L4 when they lost the series in San Francisco 3 out of 4 and then lost the first two games in St. Louis. Remember, this was when Sal got benched for missing a cutoff man and Murph was openly asking, where's our edge? Where's our edge? And, you know, the Brewers were two games under 500 at this point a year ago. But when I'm just kind of flipping back and forth here, looking at the stats. A season ago through 27 games, the team OPS was 694. Right now, the team OPS is 692. Through 27 games last year, the Brewers, I'm pulling it up now, how many home runs had they hit? Because this team is not hitting homers right now. They had 25 homers in their first 27 games. They only have 19 right now. But again, that's where I pause and say, well, you could probably have at least 25. Let's say, I mean, you're missing 90-plus plate appearances from both Jackson Churio and Andrew Vaughn right now, and by the end of it, you're going to be missing probably close to 100 to 125 from Christian Yelich by the time that his injury is all said and done. So I could see where the offensive reinforcements are going to come in. But what's fascinating is the bullpen, and in that last year, the bullpen was kind of the saving grace because there was so much unknown in the starting pitching. Because remember, in that first, it's on par. The Brewers have now already used 10 different starting pitchers. In the first month, they used 11 different starting pitchers last year. Nestor went down. Savali went down. Chad Patrick had to come up. Logan Henderson had to come up. Elvin Rodriguez, Tyler Alexander. Like, these were some dark times there in the beginning of the year. Now it's flipped, where the starting pitching is the most reliable thing about the Brewers right now. And, you know, I don't think anybody was expecting Uribe and Ashby and McGill in a 5-0 game, but that's just the matter of the trust tree, I think, in my opinion, that Murph knows he needs to get those guys on track. They're the guys that are supposed to be in the trust tree. Right now, the team ERA is 3.82, which, with everything going on, is not that bad. A season ago, it was 4.20 at this point, so I still see areas of improvement for the Brewers, even without Jared Koenig and Rob Zastrzny and Craig Yoho, right? I think this team is naturally has a higher floor than last year's team did. I also think in doing so, it has a higher ceiling than last year, but we can't properly judge them until they're all back at full strength. So I think that's a coherent argument. I think that makes sense, but I still, like I said in last night's show, I have the calendar update in my phone, June 1st, that first game against the Giants. In that postgame show, we're going to sit down and laugh and look at that starting lineup versus the starting lineups we talked about this past week, like the Scuba lineup on Thursday or even yesterday against the Pirates, against Mitch Keller, or Friday against Skeens. You're going to laugh because it feels like the biggest thing in the world in the moment, but let a month pass and all of a sudden everything's going to feel a whole lot better when Churio and Vaughn, and hopefully Yelich by June 1st, we don't know that for sure, are back in this order. Maybe some of those kids could be here too. Cooper Pratt had his first AAA home run this season. Luis Lara hit another home run today. He is on fire right now. So a lot can change in a month in baseball. We are exactly 1 month into the season today. Talk a little bit of offense, and then we'll hear from Kyle coming up on the other side of the break right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Let's do a little buy or sell here. The Brewers win 5-0 over the Pirates. We're going till 5:30, the bottom of the hour here on WTMJ. I'm Dom Catronio. Buy or sell is brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. Powered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. The thing I'm buying right now is this offense isn't far off. Even in a week where Bryce Turang had a couple of offers and really cooled off, even in the Detroit series, he had cooled off there, but he has just one hit in his last five games. And mind you, he's played all but two games this season, and that was even because of a little ankle flare-up in Boston. He's virtually played every game this season for the Brewers. He deserves an off day tomorrow, even for William Contreras, right? 1-for-4 today to start that rally, but hasn't been hitting for as much power as of late. Just two doubles since the end of the Washington series. Has not hit a home run since game two of that Washington series. Trying to keep him fresh, keep him healthy. So those two guys cooling off, and yet the offense still found a way to get five runs today in that fourth inning. And you may think they should have got greedy, they should have got more. I don't blame you on that, but I think Renjifo is hitting the most misleading 173 in the game, right? I mean, how many times is he going to scald a ball and nothing happen? A 503 OPS, and just judging by the quality of contact and the line drives he's hitting, I just feel like he's been burned a few times with some bad luck. That is certainly going to work its way back. Now, I'm not saying Luis Renjifo is a 300 hitter and a 900 OPS can carry your lineup. No, but they acquired Luis Renjifo to be a league average bat, you know, to be 100 OPS plus, to say, hey, go play third base, be a switch hitter, be available against both sides, play adequate enough defense at third, and you'll run into a few, we know it, and you'll get familiar with this team. And yet, he's got six doubles, and it feels like all of them have been earned, and he's been robbed of maybe three or four more. He hit a scalding ball to right center field today that Brian Reynolds tracked down, right? So, I've been quietly impressed with Luis Renjifo dealing with the adversity. And yeah, he misplayed a ball yesterday, probably on that chopper in the 10th inning, but the offense still has room to grow for him. Sal Frelick is not going to hit 198 all season long. I'm starting to see better at-bats and approaches from Sal. I had a good conversation with him before Friday's game of just trying to understand how does he grade himself from an offensive perspective, where is he looking at the pitches he swung at? Is he looking at his exit velos? Like, what are the things that matter to Sal Frelick? And he said, simply, my job is to get on base. And I have not been doing that lately. That's all I care about. It could be 110 off the bat and into somebody's glove. I don't care. I didn't get on base. I don't care that it doesn't look pretty sometimes. He understands it. He will get back on track. And I still see some better takes from him lately. I see better approaches from him lately. And then, again, Bowers, like we talked about at the top of the show. What a great start to the season. What a great story for him. Really carrying this offense right now without three key bats in their order. So just some buying the fact that this offense is moving forward. I'm selling Anything Craig Breslow wants to get, I'm buying at, and I'm hoping he's selling some more, because my goodness, the Red Sox are going through it right now. Thank you for Kyle Harrison. Let's hear from the man himself. Kyle caught up with Josh Maurer over on the Brewers Radio Network, chatting about today's victory.
Kyle, thanks so much for sticking around to chat with us. How are you?
Oh, doing great. No worries. Thanks for having me on, guys.
So, when you are dominating the way that you were there today, you just heard there, that's a career-high 12 strikeouts. How does it feel right out of the get-go? Do you know you have the goods?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think that first inning kind of knew that I had the heater command, and then from that point on, it was just kind of, you know, establishing the soft stuff, trying to land it at the bottom of the zone, and ultimately, you know, just trying to tunnel that with the fastball and get guys to chase.
As the game is going along, it's scoreless until the Brewers finally put up that big five-run inning against Medzinski in the bottom half of the fourth. What did that do for you? You had to sit in the dugout a long time, but you finally had a lead with which to work. How did that change your mentality?
Yeah, you know, for sure. Had to, you know, sit in the dugout a little bit, cool down a little bit, you know, but those are always good. You know, it means the boys are working on offense and getting guys on and pushing the pace, you know. So my job at that point is just to go out, throw up a zero the next inning, and get the guys in the dugout as quick as possible.
And then you go back out for two more innings after that. You got the fifth, 1-2-3 with a couple of strikeouts, the sixth. 1-2-3 strikeout the side to finish that way. Five strikeouts, the last six batters that you faced. What did that say about the way you finished the outing to yourself?
Yeah, you know, I think just when I was ahead in counts, you know, it was going for that kill shot, you know, not wasting too many pitches after that, and you know, knowing that you're gonna get the chase, you know, by proving the fastball in the zone. Just was more important for me to kind of hit my spots out of the zone, you know, in those vantage counts.
Kyle Harrison, our guest here at the outset of the postgame show. What an outing. Six innings of one-hit scoreless baseball, 12 Ks as the Brewers shut out Pittsburgh 5-0 today. You know, the last time you'd pitched here was a couple of weekends ago when there was that crazy play at the beginning at first base where you got hit in the knee and then ended up kind of getting your wrist banged up. How does everything feel since that?
Yeah, you know, kind of a weird in-between since the last start in Detroit. You know, it was like a 9-10 day. You know, came out that Detroit start, you know, was still feeling a little, but felt good enough to go, you know, so today was awesome to just get that full conviction back, feeling good, and, you know, everything's good, so now we go.
Did you put any extra pressure, or did you feel anything extra today knowing that the team needed this win to avoid being swept?
No, you can't look at it like that, you know. I think, you know, from my experience up here, it's just been, you know, you got to treat it like just another day, just another start. You know, it doesn't matter what happened yesterday, a week ago, and you just got to battle each day and compete, man. That's it.
Love it. And the results spoke for themselves, undoubtedly. You know, we haven't had a chance to chat with you yet on any of our shows. How has it been, the transition to your third different organization in the last calendar year, to come to the Brewers late in the offseason, go through a spring training, and now you're just a member of the rotation? How's the whole transition been?
Yeah, I mean, as you say, that's kind of crazy to hear that, right? I mean, I really haven't been thinking about it, you know. So just been attacking each day, man, just trying to get better each day, figure out what works with me. And, you know, Jim and Hookie have been great here mentoring me. And, you know, just all the guys, man, here have been awesome. And just getting to know them and getting to know their stuff and pick up a little thing or two from them. So, no, I got nothing but great things to say about this organization. And let's just keep it going.
So fun to watch you pitch today. You've earned a well-deserved day off tomorrow, Kyle.
I appreciate it. So did Ash.
Thanks so much for sticking around again, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Hero of the day, starting pitcher Kyle Harrison.
Great stuff from him. Career high, 12 strikeouts. Our thanks to Josh and to Kyle. Let's talk a little bit more about Ash and the rest of that bullpen. Why did they go with the leverage relievers in a 5-0 game? We'll explain that coming up on the other side of the break here on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers win, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Hey, we'll actually have a highlight segment in today's show. All right. Brewers win 5-0 over the Pirates. I'm Dominic Catronio. Now, the bullpen today, the usage, a couple of things to point out that made me excited. Number one, Trevor Megill. I know there were two base runners, and it was a bloop double and a walk, okay? And Brian Reynolds is a thorn in the Brewers' side. He's always been a heck of a player. Heck, I've seen Brian Reynolds play ball since 2015 when he was in college, and he was on the best team I've ever seen assembled in the 2015 Orleans Firebirds on the Cape Cod League, but y'all don't know about that. I'm just saying, that was the best team ever made. Go look at the roster. But the Brewers understand the way that they get better and the way that they get through this game is to say, off day tomorrow, go get it. Go let it eat, boys, because they know they need them back on track. Yes, you could have thrown Jake Woodford in this game. Yes, you could have thrown D.L. Hall in this game. But the reason they chose not to is because they need to get the key guys back on track. And I'm not trying to disparage Woodford or Hall, but I think you understand what I'm trying to say here in the fact that if you have an opportunity for a get-right outing, a clean entry to an inning, and work on your stuff, and even both Ashby and McGill face some adversity of their own doing in today's game, but were able to spin themselves out of danger. And I think that was so, so important for the psyche, for the mentals, to work on the things that they wanted to work on. First thing that I noticed that Trevor McGill continues to want to work on is his breaking ball. He got into some better counts, not all the time, but he did get into some better counts. 50%, 13 and 13, even split between the heater and the curveball today. The velo, a tick up. That's good news. He was back above his average. He averaged 98 miles an hour today, which is on par with what we've seen from him over the last couple of seasons. The first month of the year is generally his slowest, and then he adds velo. The second thing that I noticed today about the breaking ball is he was closer to getting back to the normal break that he's supposed to be getting on the breaking ball, and he was getting more ride than he usually does on the fastball. That's a great sign. What do I mean by that? How can we track that? You've heard me say it before. Induced vertical break is how we track this sort of thing. That's how much the ball is resisting gravity on its way to the plate. So, again, using math and physics and science, we're saying Trevor McGill's fastball is resisting gravity by 20 to 19 to even some 22s in today's game, 22 inches on average, almost 2 feet. Think about that. That's a huge difference. That's the ride and what the batter is supposed to be used to seeing. Then you look at the breaking ball. We saw a lot more in the negative IVBs, which is good for him. He's always said he wants to keep it in single-digit negative IVBs. And we saw some negative sixes, some negative fives. We saw some zeros and some ones, which are the bad ones. So you want to get that down below zero as fast as possible. So to see him get out of that jam in the seventh inning, continue to pitch in quote-unquote low-stress innings. But an equalizer for him. He went 2-for-3 on fastballs for a strike on first pitch, 0-for-2 on curveballs for a strike to open an at-bat. So that's going to be another thing that he needs to monitor. If he's going to fall into a breaking ball pattern and throw breaking balls even when he's behind in the count, they need to be really good. On Ashby, you know, it was funny. We're standing in the press box earlier today looking out to the field and like, wow, who is that with some long toss? And it was Aaron Ashby. After 19 pitches yesterday, long toss from the door of the Brewers bullpen to the right field line. It was no big deal. And maybe that long toss is why he walked the first two batters that he faced today, but yet the velo is still up, on par. The curveball is unhittable right now. Unhittable. He had 3 swings and misses on the pitch. He threw 9 of them today. They were all nasty. 84 mile an hour with just a devastating amount of drop on it. I am just enamored with Aaron Ashby's breaking ball. And then finally, Uribe. He did not mess around at all today. I thought today was one of the better outings. Just 13 pitches needed for him. Low stress. 2 swings and misses. A pair of strikeouts. Abner looked like the regular Abner, where the sinker is getting guys uncomfortable and the slider looks nasty. He didn't even need the slider to get swings and misses in this game today. Up next, we'll give you the highlight recap. Then we'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, a little bit later on. Right here on your home of the Brewers, a 5-0 victory for the crew on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho-ho-ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Pirates looking for a sweep. Brewers trying to salvage a finale. Kyle Harrison for the crew against Carmen Majinski for the Pirates. And Harrison started out hot, striking out the side in the first, but the only problem was Majinski retired 9 of the first 10 batters he faced in this game. But Harrison had 7 strikeouts in the first 11 batters that he faced. It's still scoreless as we pick things up in the bottom of the fourth inning. Led off with a single by William Contreras on a 10-pitch battle. That will be relevant later. Bowers, a double to the gap in right center field. Put men on second and third for Gary Sanchez, who grounded out to deliver the first run of the game. But now you're thinking, oh man, they haven't scored a run with a hit in the last 3 games. Then Mitchell strikes out, and Frelick falls behind 0-2, but he reaches on a catcher's interference. Then the floodgates would open with men on the corners for Renjifo.
1-1 pitch. And a liner into center. That's going to get down for a base hit. Bowers around third. Here comes the throw. It's going to be up the line. Bowers in there safely. An RBI single for Luis Renjifo, and the Brewers lead it 2-0.
David Hamilton battled into a 1-2 count. Again, this is all going to be with two outs here, mind you. And he hit maybe one of his hardest balls of the season.
Here's the 1-2. And a fly ball right center field. This ball's way back there. It's got a chance. It's off the top of the wall. Jogging home is Frelick. Stopping at third is Renjifo. It's an RBI double for David Hamilton. And the Brewers lead it 3-0.
Hamilton's first extra base hit of the season. All right, 3-0. Keep the line going. Lockridge finding himself in a two-strike count, and the bat dies a hero.
Here comes. And a broken bat flare into left center field. It's down for a hit. Renjifo is in. Around third is Hamilton. He will score. It's a two-run single for Brandon Lockridge. And the Brewers lead it 5-0.
Four straight reached with two outs. Catcher's interference. Single. Double. Single. And Carmen Majinski was done after a 39-pitch fourth inning. But how would Kyle Harrison respond after a 26-minute wait between innings? Just a 1-2-3 fifth, no big deal. Then he really put the cherry on top when he came back out for the sixth.
Two strikes, Harrison again winds and fires. Struck him out! He strikes out the side in the sixth, and a new career high for Kyle Harrison. He's got a dozen strikeouts.
His best performance in the big leagues, it was dominant. Six innings, just one hit, one walk, and 12 strikeouts with shutout ball. But the Brewers bullpen was a little shaky for both Trevor McGill and Aaron Ashby. McGill allowed the first two batters to reach on a double and a walk, but he struck out Ozuna. He got O'Hearn to fly out, and then it was the young Nick York at the plate.
Trevor raises the leg, the pitch, swing and a miss. He struck him out. Went back to the curveball. Trevor McGill, a little bit of trouble. Two on, nobody out. No problem. Puts up a zero.
Then Ashby in the eighth. A pair of walks and an error had the bases loaded for that man, Brian Reynolds. He always seems to do something against the Brewers. Not this time, though.
Ashby ready to work. His 2-2 to Reynolds with the bases full. Ground ball softly hit to second base. Terang fields, throws to first. He gets Reynolds, and Ashby strands the bases loaded.
Both McGill and Ashby, a pair of Ks. All that was left was Abner Uribe in the ninth.
Stretch again by Uribe. 1-2 pitch. Struck him out swinging. The ball game is over. Uribe can put it in the holster, and the losing skid ends at 4. A 5-0 victory over the Pittsburgh Pirates. With an off day coming tomorrow.
All right, everyone put a smile on your face for an off day for Monday. The Brewers get the victory today. They're back above 500. They snapped a losing streak. They are at 14-13. The Pirates are at 16-12. The winner is Harrison. The loser is Majinski. No save in front of 31,500 at the yard. We'll hear from Pat Murphy coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Who's hot? Who's cold? It's brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Spring is here, despite the temperature right now. But for a limited time at Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical, you can get a free AC system with the purchase of a new gas furnace. Stay comfortable year-round, but hurry. Spots are limited. Call today or visit Sider.com to schedule your appointment. That's Sider.com. Let's hear from the skipper, Pat Murphy, after today's win.
Guys, look, you get tired of hearing me say this, but I mean, Harrison was unbelievable, you know. And again, the Pirates are playing great, and they're confident. They're excited about their season. They got great pitching, as you guys have seen. But to Harrison to go in and throw the way he did. But William Contreras, you know, again, catching all three games, night game, day game, not a lot of catchers do that. You got to give Contreras, you know, his props for what he did. He handles all those different pitchers. And for him to do that, that's just unheard of, and especially with our young staff, for him to jockey Harrison. And I don't want to take anything away from Harrison. Harrison did it. And, yeah, but I think William needs to be called out for what he did this weekend. It's just, it's not something that – everybody can do, mentally stay in it the way he did and call the game he did for Harrison and read the swings the way he does. We don't call pitches, guys. I mean, we might call one or two or suggest one or two, but William does it.
See, Harrison seemed to be even at his best that last inning. Just was it safe for him to come back out in the sixth and do what he did then?
Yeah, I mean that was it. You know that he had his off speed stuff today, and it was really effective for him. And I thought that was a difference in the game. But William again was giving him that confidence by calling it, and was reading the swing. And you know the report on Harrison is go ahead and attack the heater. You're going to get a bunch of them. Well, he gave him heater in a good spot, and then used his off speed.
Second time.
I think that again, that was the plan. You know, to be able to, you have to establish other things and make sure heater even better. So it's basic, but William had that read, and to Harrison's credit, he stayed ahead in the count a lot, or at least even.
Last time he was coming back from that layoff, did you know this time he'd be sort of back to?
You felt good about it. You know, you felt good about that he can handle whatever we throw at him here today. You know, and that the fact that he could get, he had never been over 80 some, had he, this year? I don't think he had been over 80. So to get to 100 or pretty close to 100 today. Again, guys, what happens sometimes with Harrison is that he's got that quick delivery. And when he fatigues, the rhythm and timing of it at foot strike isn't always allows you to have the same release point. So then he starts missing and then pulling, and then all that stuff comes into place. It's just conditioning is a huge thing for him. So, yeah, he was special today. And our pen got some good work. You know, they had to make big pitches. From McGill and Ashby had to make big pitches to not give up damage and preserve what we had going.
For McGill, that seemed the best stuff for him this year.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't want to be in there in that inning. You know what he wants, you know. But he's earning his way back to, and Uribe is making it tough on him. You know, so it's like that's a good situation. And Ashby, how can you deny what this guy has done for us? I mean, he's been our most valuable pen member right now. So, and we did some good things offensively, guys. You saw it. You know, Rengifo had a good day, and Hamilton had a good day, and Locke came up with a big hit. You know, and Gary Sanchez. What can you say about it? If you guys haven't noticed, when Gary's in there. You know, he's putting together some great at-bats.
On the offensive side of the ball, you talk a lot about momentum-shifting plays. How important are two-out runs in that regard? What does it say about the team that's been so successful in this situation?
Well, we don't have a lot of full-time position players that have had the experience of playing full-time in the big leagues that are being forced to do that. So either young players or guys that haven't been full-time big league players or have played a lot of big league baseball. So staying relentless and being able to, you know, realize the inning's not over when there's two outs. You know what I mean? There's still a big chunk of it, you know. I think it's says good things about our offense to come when we get those guys healthy.
You saw a couple Cy Young pitchers earlier this week. Do you think Harrison has the talent to get to that level?
Yeah, I don't think we should be talking about Cy Young's. You know, that means the best in the business. Like, there's a lot of great pitching out there, taking nothing away from Harrison, you know. But, I mean, to talk about a Cy Young, the kid's just breaking in, really. You know what I mean? He's got his first full-time major league job, you know what I mean, as a starter. And, I think that's down the road. He's got to polish himself up a little bit. But I think he's got great potential, and he's a great person. He works at the game. I don't think we need to throw that comparison in there. I mean, does he have the stuff? I mean, yeah, you could say that any guy on our staff has the stuff to be really, really good in the big leagues. But Harrison certainly is on the top end of that stuff-wise.
He's got that stuff. He does. He's got spunk. He's got speed. He's got ability to change speeds. He's got command. Hey, just one start. and celebrate it for 24 hours, enjoy the off day, then get back to work on Tuesday. That's life as a major leaguer. Take our last break and enjoy the off day and give you the upcoming schedule on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings. I'm on top of the world, eh?
Final segment, final couple minutes. Brewers win 5-0. Off tomorrow, then the Diamondbacks are coming to town. Tuesday, Wednesday, both will be a 6:40 first pitch. We're on the air at 6:05 with the On Deck Show. Post-game, both of those games as well. I just won't be on Tuesdays. It will be Bob Brainerd, and then I'm back on Wednesday night. No post-game on Thursday. That's a 12:40 start, but we will have Brewers Weekly later that evening and available on YouTube on Friday morning. Now, we're exactly 1 month into the season. I made this plea last week. I will make it again. For all of you who signed up for Brewers.tv or signed up for MLB.tv, don't forget to unsubscribe to your ESPN Unlimited subscription. That 1 month free trial is over at the end of this month. Don't forget to unsubscribe. The auto pay is automatic. It's nefarious. I know that's how the whole world is operating these days on subscription models. So don't say I didn't warn you. If you need to go in, you don't need to keep the ESPN side of it to keep MLB TV, but you got a free month trial. That free month ends this week. So don't forget to end that free trial, right? Just, it's what, how they get you. It's how they get you. But keep an eye out for that. But honestly, it's been a fun start to the season. It could have been a lot better. Could have been a whole lot worse. Go ask the Phillies and the Mets how they're feeling right about now. Or the Red Sox, even. That is going to do it for our program here today. Thank you so much for listening. Brewers and Diamondbacks coming up on Tuesday. Evan Wittalzen's been our producer. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.